Hey, it's June 9th, 1999. This is Luann Johnson, and I am interviewing Yana Sipula. And we are at Bread and Bagels on Broadway in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And it is a public establishment, so there will be other people milling around and some background noise. Good morning, and thanks for coming.
Good morning. Thanks for asking.
You are from Finland. And you work at Hershey Theater?
Yes.
And how long have you been in the area?
Well, I first came over, I think it was the end of 1990, and I lived first a short while in Glasgow, Kentucky, and then I moved to Bowling Green, and I lived here about 4 years. We left in the end of 1994. I was gone for about 3 years. And I've been back now again since February 98, and I live in Horse Cave, Kentucky.
Okay. So what first brought you to the United States?
It was in Glasgow. There was, and well, there's still one of the companies. There is a, what do you call it, like the headquarters. It's a Finnish company that has a subsidiary in Glasgow, and my husband, now ex, then husband, he was transferred to work here, so we moved over.
And what were you doing in Finland at that time? What was your life like there?
Well, I worked for the same company, that's how we met. So I was in marketing and working and
okay.
The usual.
So what was the decision like to move to the States? What were your feelings about it?
Well, I don't know where it comes from. When I was growing up, me and my family, we moved around a lot. So I, for some strange reason, I loved moving. And I loved languages when I was at school. I didn't have to study hard. I think I have an ear for it. And I always wanted to travel. As long as I remember growing up, I always wanted to travel. And as soon as I got my first job and whatever, I was always saving money to be able to travel. So every year, at least once a year, I took a trip. And I always wanted to work abroad. So for me, it was just like, yeah, when do we go?
So when you got here, did you continue working for the company? Yes. And how long did you do that?
Oh gosh, it's been so long I can't remember all the details. It was less than a year. I think it was something between 6 months and a year, because it was more like a project. The company had already started, and so I was sort of just helping for a while to establish databases, like customer things, and I designed some brochures, and I started a newsletter, and do stuff like that. And then I was a lady of leisure for a while, and then I found the theater.
Oh, okay. Well, what's your education and your background?
I'm not exactly sure what's the equivalent ER in the U.S. for the, but I've gone through the basic education that everybody goes through is 9 years. Then you can either go to a vocational school or high school, university, college, whatever. So I went through my 9 years, my 3 years of high school. Then I went to commercial college for 2 years. And I've always studied marketing. And after that, I've done an, I'd say after all that, I still studied in various places marketing for like 6 more years. And I guess the equivalent would be a BA in marketing and communication.
So when you got to this area of Kentucky, how was it different, or what were your impressions of it compared to where you grew up?
Of course, it's a bigger city, but cities like Bowling Green here, it's a different kind of city than what I was used to. I was used to, you know, narrower streets and higher buildings and apartment houses and things like that.
So here everything is quite flat mm-hmm. and low and spread out. That was one thing. And but the most impressive thing ever, and the first thing when I came over, was that the people are so wonderful here. I think that's the main thing why I fell in love with Kentucky, is the people. They're so friendly and helpful and everything, and I still enjoy it every day. I never get used to it, I think. But in the beginning, it was almost a shock, and because in Finland people are more reserved, so you don't like here you can you greet people, you say hello if you happen to have an eye contact, you smile and you nod and whatever. In Finland people are very, kind of a close, and you usually don't talk to strangers that much and whatever. And I felt so silly in the beginning. I remember when I went shopping or something, and I was, you know, doing Finnish thing, pushing my thing and just, you know, minding my own business, and then people, and I'm looking something on the shelf, and then the person next to me starts talking to me, you know, like saying something about the product, and I go completely, you know, blank. I'm like, yeah. And people passing, you know, saying, excuse me, pardon me, whatever. Okay. And you know, the eye contact, because I was used to think that when you get the eye contact, you sort of turn away, you don't want to do it. And here, you know, when that happens, people smile, and I used to do that first, and I felt so bad in the beginning, and I felt so embarrassed that I behaved like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It made me think that, you know, these people think I'm rude or weird, and it took me a while to learn that.
So in Finland too, after you make eye contact and you look away, is that considered polite, or that's normal?
That's normal. Is it
a matter of politeness or respect, or is it intrusive too?
I don't really know where it comes from. And I think things are changing. People are, the younger generation is different than, you know.
Yeah.
I'm from old school. I don't know. Not really. But I think, you know, that as the world gets smaller, things get more uniform. But
So the town you grew up in is smaller than Bowling Green,
uh-huh.
but it was settled differently. What was the landscape? You mentioned that everything was
okay,
kind of
okay.
closer
well,
together.
Well, the town I was living in, it's really a small town, so that compared to that, there's not that much difference. But usually, you know, cities of the size of Bowling Green, they are the center of the town is. We don't have a town square or anything, but there is a lot of, you know, all the shops and all that is in a very small area, and usually above. All the buildings are high rise, so there are shops on the lower level and apartments on top, and people walk a lot. That was one thing that I was surprised here. You know, nobody walks anywhere. Everybody drives, and you can drive through everything. And that was something I thought really fascinating in the beginning. You know, you don't have to get out of your car. In Finland, it's very customary, and you need to walk. So you can when you go shopping in a city. I did with my mother. We just parked the car in one spot, and then we can walk around and go to the stores and whatever. And there are very, really nice walkways that, you know, that it makes it possible to walk. Here it's sometimes impossible, you know, you get run over if you try to walk somewhere.
So what was the experience of driving so much more? How was that? Are there different, do you have any driving stories?
That's not, in Finland there is not a lot of roads that are like two lanes on one direction, like there's the interstate or whatever. So that's, I think driving here is more pleasant. I love the automatic. That's also another thing. In Finland, most of the cars are shift or
manual.
Manual. So, but I prefer the automatic. And then also the passing is not as dangerous because there are planes going, so you can, you know, sort of. Okay, I enjoy driving here. And of course, you know, the climate, there's no winter and snow and ice and all that here.
Oh, so it's nicer here.
Yeah.
Are there things that you miss about the landscape in Finland?
The only thing I miss, in addition to people, I love this climate. Because I'm a summer person and I'm always telling that I was born in the wrong country because I hated winter, always, when I was growing up. I didn't like winter sports or anything. But I still like the four seasons, and you have that here, and it's nice. So,
am I coming too close to the mic?
That's fine. Try to stay still. So, what was I saying? Yes, I'm a country girl, and when I was growing up, my parents always took me fishing, and in Finland, you can go anywhere in the forest. It's called every man's right. And it doesn't matter if whoever owns the land, if it's the government or if it's private or whatever, everybody is allowed to go anywhere. Of course, you know, you can't set up fires or, you know, destroy anything, but you can go and pick the berries and pick the mushrooms and you know, wander around and whatever. And that's what I've been doing since I learned to walk. And I love it. I just love it. And that's the only thing I miss. I would love to go to Finland in August, September, October, when the mushrooms in the fall time are there. But of course, when I work for the theater, the season's still going on and it's impossible to get away. But that's the thing I miss, walking in the forest.
Yeah. Now, do you know land you can walk on around here?
I know the Mammoth Cave Park. There you have trails, but it's I've been too busy to even try it. And it's different because you walk on the trails. In Finland, you go in the wild. You go in the woods. You don't. There's no trail.
So you can totally kind of trailblaze it all.
Yep.
Were there things in the woods that you? What kind of knowledge did you have in the woods that, like when you were a kid, were there things you had to know to be safe? Were there?
Well, in Finland, things are pretty safe. We have only one poisonous snake, which usually I've seen a few times in my life, but you know, they run away when they hear.
What's it called?
Goose. K-Y-Y.
What does it look like?
And it's not deadly poisonous. If it bites a real small child, it's dangerous. But for adults, of course, you have to get medication. But it's not very big, and it has like a saw kind of pattern on its back. And then, of course, with mushrooms, you have to know which ones are poisonous. And since I was growing up doing it, I learned to recognize them. Today, when I was growing up, it wasn't a problem, but today the bear population is increasing, so that's sort of a little kind of possibility that you come across with a bear. They come across from Russia. I don't know if they don't, what's happening, why it is happening, but that's increasing.
Okay.
That's something I don't think that is.
So when you would you go for treks, like for camping with gear, or was it just a little walk for...
Sometimes camping, but it's more than a little walk. When me and my father, when we go picking mushrooms, we leave early in the morning, like 9 o'clock, and we come back like 2 in the afternoon. You know,
big bags
full of mushrooms, and then of course it takes another 4 or 5 hours to work on them too.
Oh wow! So how old were you when he started taking you along?
I've been doing it as long as I remember, as long as I could follow.
Was it a family activity?
Uh-huh, yeah. All of us went, and when my grandmother, as long as, you know, she was living, she hopped along. And
how many siblings do you have?
I have one sister. She's younger than I am.
Was this a typical activity for most families to go mushrooming?
I think quite many people do.
Yeah. Now, how would you, what would you do with all of the mushrooms?
Oh, it's a, there are different ways to preserve them, and there are different types. Like some mushrooms are totally completely poisonous, you know, you can, and there is one deadly poisonous mushroom in Finland. But then there are one kind that when, after you boil them, the, you get rid of the poison. And then there are the, and those ones we usually, you know, you have to cook them or boil them to get out of the, get rid of the poison, and then you make a, like a preserve, a mushroom salad out of those mushrooms. You put onions and spices and you preserve it like that. And then there are those that aren't poisonous at all that you could basically eat raw. And there are different ways you can dry them. And then when they're dried, you can, you know, soak them in the water again and use them, or crush them in soups as spice. And then there we could just, you know, cook them in the pan to get rid of the moisture, and then freeze. And then during the winter, you know, you can.
So you would eat them
like once a year.
It's so good.
I'm so hungry. It makes me think my mummy and her cooking.
That's a good segue into another question. When you moved over to the States, what were you able to continue cooking the way you did when you were growing up?
Well, I haven't been a much of a cook anytime, but actually lately I've become more and more. And it's, I guess it's something to do with when you get older, you change in a way that there are some Finnish things that I didn't like when I was younger. But now I actually sometimes have cooked them for myself, and I told my mother, "You're never gonna believe this, what I did."
What were they?
Like, I always hated cabbage, and I actually made cabbage soup one day, first time in my life.
Was it your mother's recipe, or did you find it?
My mother gave me a Finnish food cookbook, and I looked up some recipes. But when people ask me what's really, you know, Finnish dish, there is not that many that are, you know, totally different from what you have here. I'd say we don't fry our food. We don't have, you know, fried chicken or do that thing. But a lot of basically the same, maybe not exactly the same kind of cooking, but the same ingredients, you know, potatoes, meat, beans, you know, all that. It's a little different ways of mixing things up.
Are there any spices or condiments that are more Finnish?
I can't think of any.
So you've never had a problem finding ingredients around here?
No, and I'd say that the only difference is that things taste a little different. Meat tastes a little different. Like hot dogs and stuff like that, they taste a little different than they do in Finland.
That's
and
it takes
a little time to get used to it. And then I remember I missed some of the things that I was trying to find the similar taste, and I couldn't. You know, it's basically it's the same thing, but it tastes different. But when you get used to these other tastes, and when you go now, when I go to Finland, that stuff tastes different.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, is the company that you had worked for when you first moved to Glasgow, is it still here?
The sister company of that is still in Glasgow, but the company my husband, my ex, worked for, had moved to Scottsdale. But yeah, they're still here and there.
So did they bring, because it was a Finnish company, were there a lot of other Finnish families here when you first
When
moved?
We were here, there was one other, and then there was, at one time there was three of us. But now, at this moment, I don't think there is any. It was, it's sort of the thing that the company does is to, when we moved here, it had been operating for 3 years, but basically it was still kind of starting point, so that's what this company does, is to get Finns to sort of work with the company in the beginning, and then, you know, it will be turned over to local people wherever in the world, It is.
So, did you? What caused you to leave the company? Or
actually, why we left the States was that we were asked if we want to go and start a company in Malaysia, and we said, "All right, yeah, we'll go." And that's where I was 2.5 years. Basically the same, doing the same thing.
And why did you decide to return to Kentucky?
Well, when we left here, it's an interesting thing. I cried. I didn't cry when I left Finland. When I left Kentucky, I cried. And when we got there, for about a week, it was interesting. And then I thought, this was a big mistake.
Mm.
And then, of course, you know, there's personal things that were going on, but I hated it. I hated the running out of paper.
Nope, I love that.
I hated everything there, and I just wanted to come back. I missed Kentucky. And of course, because I have green card, I had to come back. I didn't have to twist my arm to do that. I came back every year, visited here,
mm-hmm.
to keep it up. And then I was visiting here in October. Well, I left Malaysia June or July 97, and that's sort of when I broke up with my ex. And it was October when I came over here to visit again, and then I was, of course, I've kept in touch with everybody, and I was visiting theater people, and then one night I was having dinner with Warren and Pamela, and I was saying, and I kept telling everybody all the time that, you know, I really want to move back, and I need to look for a job, and blah, 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 and then Warren said, you know, how would you feel about working for theater? And I, you know, fell off the floor, like, you know, what kind of question is that? Yes. That's how it happened. And then I went back to Finland and, you know, got everything organized and came back in February and started working in March.
Well, did you have a theater background?
Not in a way that I haven't actually gone to school or in that sense. I've taken a lot of classes and studied that way. But I've always loved theater, and actually the theater, I was a founding member of our local theater, and it had its 10th anniversary, it's 98 or 97. So about half of my life I've been involved in theater one way or another, and acting, and so it's just my passion, I love it. I can't imagine life without a theater.
So are you planning on staying then in the States for the duration?
Well, I bought a house. I have a cat. This Sunday, I probably have another cat.
That's all permanent.
Exactly. And after 5 years, I can apply for citizenship. I think that's my 5 year plan now, because I was gone so far that the 4 years I was here before doesn't count. So I started from zero. Excuse me. And I think that's sort of what I'm aiming right now is to do that, because with green card, when you're here and working and, you know, you pay your taxes and basically the only difference for the citizens is that I can't vote. But it's still sort of insecure, because there is a certain amount of time you can spend abroad, and you know, you are in the danger of losing it if you spend too much time abroad and whatever. Not that I... But it's not good enough. I want to be just like you.
Oh,
that was from a movie.
It was a what movie?
French Kiss.
Oh,
Meg Ryan talks to this Canadian immigration officer.
Oh,
I just like you.
So when you were packing up to come over here permanently, what kind of decisions did you have to make as far as your belongings? Were there things you couldn't bring?
Well, it's interesting because first I left Malaysia, of course. So when I was leaving there, I had to decide, you know, what's important and what's not. And of course, there are silly things you take that basically have no value at all, but it's sentimental, you know, a gift you've got from somebody and then whatever. And of course, you know, I couldn't take everything I wanted, but also at that point I was so fed up with everything that I really couldn't care less. I was like, you know, just get me out of here and that's enough. But I think I got what I really sort of wanted. Two suitcases, and then the same thing when I left Finland to come over to pack.
Are there any items back in Finland, like family items that you that are yours?
There's still stuff in storage there. Yeah.
When will that eventually come over?
Some of it, yeah, but I don't think it's something like historical value, some photo albums and letters and things like that that I don't really need in a way, but I want to keep them.
They're important.
Yeah. Safe. Yeah.
What kind of items? Do you have any specific items in your home now that are that you cherish as part of your days in Finland?
I have one poster
of.
It's an old, I think it's a theater touring off company poster from France. It has a black cat on it, Tournée de Chat Noir, and it's something, well, I guess this is a good story, it's a silly story. I got, not that poster, but exactly the same kind of poster from one of my best friends. Gosh, I don't know, 15 years ago, no, 20 years ago. Anyway, long time ago. And she gave it to me, and I can't remember where she got it, but as soon as she had given it to me, she was like, oh, why did I give that to you? I love that poster. I want it back. And she wanted to have it back, like she was asking me for it, like, years. And then at some point, I can't remember when, maybe it was when we moved here the first time or whatever, I finally gave up and I gave it to her. Okay, you can have it now. And then, of course, I regretted doing it because, you know, I love that poster. And then it was before I came here now, this time. Me and another friend of mine, we were just wandering around shopping, and then there was this, like, a poster shop framing place, and I was just flipping through the posters, and there it was. And because I had looked for it, and I couldn't find it anywhere, and I thought, you know, it doesn't exist. It's nowhere to be found, and there it was. And I was like, I gotta find this. And then I'm like, you know, how stupid is this? You know, you're moving to across the ocean to a whole nother country far, far away, and you know, you need to pack your suitcase, and then I buy this poster, and of course, you know, I have to roll it, and I have to make sure it doesn't get mushed in the suitcase. Humans are silly.
A practical item to bring over.
Yeah. And of course, I bought some now. Okay, well, actually, this is even a better story. Do you want to hear another story?
Sure.
this has nothing to do with Finland, but it's an item I brought over from Malaysia. I had a friend there. She was an English lady, and we were really good friends. And one time, she made a trip with her husband to Malacca. And when she came back there, we were talking on the phone, and she said that, you know, there was this interesting thing happened. They were walking, and there were these local artists, you know, painters by the roadside, and they were walking, and she saw a painting she liked, and it was a really old Chinese man who told how he had been on that same spot for like 30 years painting and whatever, and she talked to this person for a while, and wanted to buy that pictures, but for some odd reason there were these other pictures that this Chinese man was trying to tell her, you know, buy this. And you would think that, you know, those people are really poor. So you would think that, you know, whatever anybody wants to buy, they would just sell it and be happy. But for some reason there was this other picture. He would say, you know, why don't you take this? And Carol was saying, well, yeah, that's nice too, but I really like this one. And then finally what happened was Carol bought the one she liked, and this guy gave the other picture for free. And when I was talking to her over the phone, and she was telling me the story, and then she started describing the pictures to me. And as soon as he started, that the name of the picture is 13 birds. My lucky number is 13. Blue is one of my colors, and she was telling me how there's this tree, and there is 13 blue birds are sitting in this tree. And immediately I thought, it's mine. That is my picture. Of course, I didn't say anything. And then, but I felt like, you know, it's mine. It's mine. And then some time went past, and then I was leaving, and we had our last, you know, lunch together before I left Malaysia. And she had a farewell gift for me, and you know what it was? It was that picture. And she said, of course, then I said, tell her that, you know, that's what I was thinking, my picture. And she said that immediately when she saw it, she thought about me, but she wanted to, you know, surprise me with it. So I thought there was something mystical there. And then I got it framed in Finland. And it's quite big, actually. And of course, glass, and it cost me quite a lot to get it framed. And at that point, I didn't know that I was coming here, because of course I wanted and whatever, but you know, when and how and so of course I had to pack that whole thing with the glass and everything in my suitcase, and now it's hanging in my bedroom wall. Things like that.
So all of your family still in Finland?
Uh-huh.
Are they any relatives in the States that
nope.
you visit?
No.
How often do you go back to visit family?
I've gone usually once a year, Christmas time. But I am thinking of skipping this year. I haven't told my mother yet. I don't know how she feels about it. But because I have only 2 weeks vacation, and I want to do something else as well. And it's quite expensive as well, so I'm thinking maybe skip a year, but I don't know. But I talk over the phone. Me and my mother and my father, we always talk Sunday morning. You know, we take turns.
Mm-hmm.
And call each other, and my sister and her boyfriend, they came over when I was here the first time, 90-something. So they've been here. And I'm sort of trying to get my father to come over. He might. He just might. But my mother, no way.
Why is that?
She's just afraid. And I don't know where I got my genes, because I'm so different in a way from my parents, that they don't speak any languages, and they've never traveled. They just want to be home, and you know, it's just interesting.
Where did you first learn English?
It's the first foreign language we start, and we started on the third grade. Then we Swedish is actually a second official language of Finland. Even though there is only like 5% of the population speaks Swedish. So that's the next one we start on the fifth grade. And then, you know, you can later on choose other languages as well and study more.
How many languages do you speak?
My Swedish used to be as fluent as my English. But I haven't used that in so many years that I don't know what would happen if somebody started talking Swedish to me. But let's say I have studied German, French, and Spanish as well. But to keep it up, you would have to use it. So line is really passive at the moment, somewhere behind, in the back closet of my brain.
I was saying, are there any items that when you come home from a visit from Finland you bring along?
Well, sometimes, yeah, there's, now I remember one thing when we were talking about food, it's the Finnish bread, the dark, almost black bread you can't find here. And that's another interesting thing. When I was growing up, I didn't really fancy that as much, but of course now I would love to have it sometimes. So sometimes I do bring bread and some candy. Finnish chocolate is the best in the world. Might be a little partial, but it is, I think. Finnish mustard is really good. It's different compared to what you have here. And then usually I bring some, you know, funny things like a can of Finnish beer for somebody, and you know, things like that, and some Finnish liquor. I have some bottles that I've stocked up to, you know, if somebody has some anniversary or birthday or something. It's nice to give something special. And
what is Finnish liquor? What type of liquor is it?
It's made out of the berries, like a cloudberry liquor. They're like a thick, sweet kind, like a dessert thing that you take a little bit. And lingonberry and blueberry liquor and some, you know, specialty things like that. There's one I don't know what it's called in English. But some things like that. And what I would love to do is to, actually last Christmas when I was visiting, my sister gave me a glass jar of those dried mushrooms to bring over. Ooh. But I was like, I don't think I want to do this. You know, if I get caught in customs and they open my bag, and then, you know, I'm standing there trying to explain that, you know, you eat those, you know, I might be in trouble. They might not just believe me and take my word for it. They might, you know, arrest me and run tests for the mushroom. You know, it has never happened. I have never been stopped, and my bags have never been opened. But, you know, there is first time for everything. And I was too afraid to do that. But that's something I would really love to bring over. Because, you know, here basically all you get is the only kind of mushroom,
the white ones.
Yeah.
The,
what's that called? Gosh.
I don't know the species name.
Gosh. Anyway, that's the only thing you can get, and they really, you know, that all the different kinds that we have in Finland, they have their different tastes. So it's not like the mushroom sponge. It has flavors, different flavors.
Have you tried to go out and gather mushrooms here in the States?
No, I haven't. I haven't had. Somebody did tell me that there are some that you can collect. Maybe I need to look into that.
So, have you found any differences, or do you miss any certain things related to traditions or celebrations that you had in Finland growing up that you don't have, that aren't American holidays or celebrations?
My mother was wonderful, and well, she's still wonderful, but when I was growing up, she really kept the traditions going. I was just thinking about it the other day, that in Finland, let's see, 1st of May is quite a big celebration because it's sort of the beginning of the spring, and the winter is, you know, loosening its grip, and whatever. So we have there's a special drink that non-alcoholic. It's the kid that you know my mother used to prepare and specifically for just for that time. And you know we make homemade donuts. That's another specialty associated that time. And you know you decorate the house with balloons and streamers that's one thing. And
what was the drink called?
Sima.
And what's it like? What's it made out of?
Lemons and raisins and I don't exactly know what all goes into it.
Is it thick or thin? Or
thin and a little bit bubbly. And it takes a few weeks to prepare it. Actually, I need to take a look at the finished cookbook and see if the recipe is there and see if I can get all the ingredients and maybe prepare it. But it's really good. Nice, refreshing drink. Then Easter time, I think that's pretty much similar to what you have here, the Easter eggs, and then we grow the little grass and decorate it with the little things. And
what is the grass? Is it like a little garden or a little terrarium? Or
yeah, it's from the seed.
Oh, okay.
Actually, a living little plant grass that we do with Easter eggs. And my mother did all that. She was always, you know, all the traditions we did. This is interesting. When you have Halloween, you go trick and treating. In Finland, it's Easter when children go. Basically, the same thing, trick or treat, and we all dress like witches.
Witches.
And then we go around and knock on neighbors' doors, and we have like a stick. We gather, you know, at that time. Yeah, there's no leaves yet on the tree, so there's just bare sticks. And if somebody doesn't give us candy or whatever, we give them a stick. But the idea is basically the same. But don't ask me why we do it on Easter or where it comes from. I do not know.
Okay. Do you have Halloween as well, or is that?
It's something new. It's not very much celebrated, but it's coming more and more. Like Valentine's Day is quite a new thing in Finland to celebrate. And I'd say Christmas is pretty much the same as you have. New Year.
Mm-hmm.
But the party in Finland is the Midsummer. Midsummer night. And it's the opening weekend of the season in Horse Cave. It's the Midsummer weekend in Finland. And that's the time, that's the biggest celebration in Finland. It's when, if you go to a city, you can hardly see anybody anywhere. There's no cars. It's like every place is deserted. Everybody goes to the country by the lake. They have their, you know, summer cottages, or they go camping or whatever. There is a lot of like music festivals and things, and everybody just goes out there and they have bonfires and a lot of drinking, of course.
What does it symbolize? Is there a lot of symbolic reference, or is it have any religious?
I bet it has some kind of background in religion and primitive things, but it's basically it's when the night is as long as the day. Basically, up in the Lapland, the sun doesn't even set; it just goes to the horizon and starts rising again. And even in southern Finland, it's like you can read a book without turning your light on summer night, and that's the lightest night of the year. And there are all kinds of magic things. Unmarried women, these are the primitive stuff that comes from somewhere. And I remember when I was a little girl, we did these things. You know, you go to the you like a field, and you pick seven different kind of flowers, and make a little bouquet and put it under your pillow, and the midsummer night you will dream about your future husband. Or you can go and find a natural well, and exactly on midnight you go and look into it, and you will see the face of your future husband. You know, all this comes from the time when the only job women had was to get married and take care of the children and the husband. That kind of thing happened, but it's a big party, and it's, you know, 2 or 3 days. Everything stops. Nothing happens in Finland during that day. And the magic trick brought my mind the New Year's Eve. That's another time when we do tricks. I forgot all we did, but you know, exactly midnight, you have to do this midnight. You throw a salt over your shoulder, and that keeps the evil away. I don't even remember all the things, but the main thing is we have a little tin things that are shaped like horseshoes. Horseshoe is a lucky symbol, and then we have this little like a scoop kind of thing that's made out of metal, and we put the tin horseshoe in the scoop. And then, of course, if you have a living fire, if you have a fireplace or whatever, that would be ideal. And then you melt the tin in the fire. But of course, if you don't have a fireplace, you can do it on top of the stove. And then you have a bucket of cold water. And when the tin has melted, you scoop it real fast there, and it comes out its own, these different forms. And then you look, you know, the shadow. And you turn and twist and look at the shadow, and of course you can look at the thing itself, and you can, you know, tell your fortune from it, you know.
Oh, that's so interesting.
There are different, you know, things like if there is a part of it is real small kind of bubbly thing that means money, and you know, it's just a game. It's fun because you can come up with all kind of stories. If you think you see a shape of a ship or whatever, you can say, I'm going to be traveling this year, and you know, whatever.
And you do that for New Year's?
Yeah.
Do you also do, like, in America we do New Year's resolutions? Is that kind of or in addition
both,
to?
Both. Yeah. And then there's, you know, all kinds of, you know, you have to break a plate to... I wish I could remember all this, but there's, and then you have to wear something red, and I can't remember that, but it's a lot of fun.
That sounds fun. So you're planning on pursuing citizenship here.
Uh-huh.
When you start a family, mm-hmm. if that's something in your plan.
No, I think I'm happy with my cast, but yeah. Yes.
But if you had a family, what traditions would you... Do you think you would be maintaining a lot of these traditions that your mother had done?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. And if I know correctly, also I will have a dual citizenship. I will lose my, so I'd be both. But yeah, I think it's important. I think all those things. And of course, the older you get, the more you value them.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the value more than when it was exactly happening. And I think the most important thing that I'm most grateful for my parents is this love for nature and animals and all that, because I got it so young, you know, started that that's something I really would pass on if that would be the thing, yeah.
What about language? Would you want your family or your children to speak?
I think so. Yeah. To be able to talk to their grandparents and Right now, I only have the only Finnish speaking cat in Kentucky.
And how did you accomplish that?
I talk Finnish to my cat.
Oh my gosh.
No, really, it's fascinating because I think she knows the difference in a way that now I've been learning my lines for the play, and I do it out loud, and every time I start talking English, she gets nervous, she comes to me and she's like, what's happening here? Of course, I've done it for a while that she's getting used to it, but in the beginning she couldn't figure out what's going on.
You're confusing me. What are you saying? Where is my real mommy? Well, I think I've kind of exhausted most of my questions. Is there anything you'd like to add? This is going into an archive, so for like future generations to possibly listen to
goodness.
And hear.
Oh my goodness, you should have told me that first.
Oh,
I'd be more sophisticated.
Oh, you were fine.
gosh. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe, yeah, well, okay, one thing, the language thing is kind of interesting is when we talk about, you know, sayings and jokes, what happens to me quite often here, and I don't know why it happens, when somebody tells a joke, I understand everything until the punchline comes, and then I'm lost. And sometimes, you know, if I'm in a familiar surroundings with familiar people, I'm like, you know, I didn't get that. But many times I'm in a place where I don't feel I can do that, and I'm just, you know, laughing with everybody and wondering, you know, what was funny? But it's very interesting.
Because it's a lot of word puns or
I don't know. It's really fascinating, but it's happened so many times. And of course it's always like, you know, I thought I spoke this language, but I guess I didn't. But those are the most difficult things to translate are the jokes, because a lot of times it's a language thing.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is the sayings. There is a lot of same kind, and then there are these little different variations, and I guess my favorite is that you say two birds with one stone. In Finland we say two flies with one swat. But they're so similar that when you hear it, you know exactly what it is.
I know what I want to ask you.
Yes.
So, since you've moved here, and is there any significant Scandinavian community in the area? But is there anything that you miss about that, as far as cultural traditions or just interactions with other Scandinavians? No.
Not really.
From your region of the world?
No. Because I don't think people itself are that different. You know, there might be, you know, different traditions, and like I said, that Finns are maybe a little reserved, more reserved than Americans, but, you know, the core of a human is the same wherever you go, I think. And, not really. I love being here. This is where I wanted to be, and I'm so happy to be here. I'm still sort of, you know, a few feet above the ground, even after almost, you know, a year and a half. Okay, everything's good. Life is good.
Good. Well, I hope you have a good theater season.
Yes. Everybody who's listening here, this is Horse Cave Theater's 23rd season starting, so 50 years from now it'll be 73rd season starting, right? Yeah, so come and see a play.
Good promotion, always a marketer. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.